You're listening to the After the Stork podcast, Infant and Toddler Sleep with Megan Robert, episode 15. This is the last episode of season one. With this episode, you will learn about the evolution of the nap schedule for a child. We will cover the six nap phases that start from the newborn months up through about 3 to 4 years of age once your child drops that final nap. Welcome to the After the Stork podcast, Infant and Toddler Sleep with Megan Robert. That's me, creator and host. If you have an infant or toddler and sleep is a priority for your family, if you want to create healthy sleep habits and a strong and safe sleep foundation for your little one, if you desire a predictable schedule that permits time for things like self-care, date nights, and planned outings, if you need your bed back or want your child sleeping in their own sleep space and desire to follow safe sleep guidelines, if you crave an overall well-rested and thriving family, well, you've come to the right place. As an infant and toddler sleep consultant, I built this podcast to bring you all things infant and toddler sleep and sleep training so that you can have the confidence in making informed decisions that are best for your family when it comes to your child's sleep. Your child is worth it. Your family is worth it. And moms, dads, you are worth it. Now let's dive in. Hey there, Stork community. This is the last episode of season one for the After the Stork podcast. I'm going to take about a month or so break in order to decompress, regroup, enjoy a little bit of summertime, and also to do some planning. I plan on providing an online course that will be interactive in August. More on that to come. If you find these details interesting and you would like information and would like to be on the waiting list, you can email me at megan@afterthestorksleep.com. That's Megan, no H, M-E-G-A-N, @afterthestorksleep.com. This online course is going to be geared towards families who have napping children in their cribs, who are struggling with sleep and are between 5 and 6 months of age and older. So if your child is 5 months or older, napping in a crib, struggling with sleep, no naps, short naps, bedtime struggles, waking frequently at night, early rising, requiring you to nurse them for a long time or rock them for a long time to fall asleep, that is what this course is going to be about and for. Together, we are going to discuss the different components of sleep. We're going to dive into each one, and then we are going to create a sleep plan. And together, while you implement that, we will be having community and supporting one another while you implement that sleep plan. So again, if you're interested in being on that waiting list to find more information, email me at megan@afterthestorksleep.com. Also, make sure to subscribe to the podcast if you haven't already, so that you know when a new episode is released. You're aware of the second season of the podcast. And if you're on my email list, I will make sure to update people when that happens. All right, so let's dive into this topic of timing of sleep. When we sleep, the timing of that sleep is important. Sleeping around the same time every day, especially at appropriate times for age and individual sleep needs, helps to regulate our circadian rhythms. And then it makes sleeping easier. Not sure if you've ever heard the phrase, sleep begets sleep. Sleeping well helps you to sleep well. So when you or your child are sleeping at the right time of day, it makes sleeping easier. Remember from episode 2 of the podcast titled Healthy Sleep, Catering to Your Child's Age, when we went over the definition of healthy sleep, I talked about catering to your child's age, CATER being a 4-letter acronym. Well, the T, if you recall, is for timing, and timing contributes to the other 3 elements of that acronym, the other 3 elements of healthy sleep. If you haven't had a chance to listen to that episode, episode 2, I would encourage you to go listen to it as it's one of those essential episodes that kind of sets the foundation to help you understand sleep, which then kind of opens the mind to understand why some aspects that we discuss throughout the podcast episodes are important. Now, in this episode, you will learn about the evolution of naps over those first few years from newborn and up, and typical schedules for each age range so that you have a framework to go off of when evaluating and adjusting your child's schedule to help them achieve that healthy sleep. Now, keep in mind that some children might have earlier or later schedules than the ones I will be providing in this episode. However, from my experience, children typically do not fall far from the schedules provided, if at all. And when they do, we need to ask ourselves, is it working? For some, it might be. But for others, it might be a reason your child is struggling to sleep well. Helping your child to create an appropriate schedule for their age and individual body can help improve their overall sleep, making the entire process easier on everyone involved. So if you take only one thing away from this episode, I want it to be this. You are your child's timekeeper. Help your child by paying attention to the clock just as much as you pay attention to their sleep cues. Pay attention to the clock just as much as you pay attention to the frequency that they eat. I would encourage you to log. I prefer the app Baby Connect or Daily Connect, but really any tracking app can help. Now, to make sure that we are on the same page throughout this episode and future episodes, let's discuss a couple terms often used. First, wake window. A wake window is the optimal duration of time for your child to be awake before sleep pressure has built up to the point where they need to sleep again and where the alert and drowsy circadian rhythm is in that drowsy phase. Second, schedule. When we use the term schedule in this Stork community, we are referring to sleep occurring around the same specific times on the clock every day. These times are also often referred to as bio times in the sleep world. At a certain point in an infant's life, a schedule becomes more important than the wake window due to the developing suprachiasmatic nucleus, which contributes to the development of the circadian rhythms. Basically, we're going to adjust to focusing more on a schedule than wake windows as your child's sleep matures. Third, adjusted age, also referred to as corrected age or corrected gestational age. These terms and definition apply to children 2 years and younger. If a child is born prior to their due date, when discussing age, we are referring to the baby's age in relation to their due date, not their birth date. If a baby is born on or after their due date, when discussing age, we are referring to the baby's age in relation to their actual birth date. Okay, so now that we are on the same page about those three terms, let's move on to what you came here to learn. Evolution of naps for your child. We are going to discuss 6 phases of naps. Nap phase number 1, the newborn phase. For newborns or infants 16 weeks or younger, it is normal that they sleep off and on all day with the duration of sleep bouts being random. This has a lot to do with the architecture of their sleep cycles and the lack of maturity for their circadian rhythms. Some naps are short and some are long, and they nap at no specific time of day. So basically, a set schedule with a specific number of naps each day is not a realistic expectation at this time of a child's life. But while this is true, you do have a few pieces of information that can allow some predictability with your newborn sleep. While I won't dive into all of these in this episode, the main one to mention that has to do with the timing of naps is the wake window, as described earlier. A few hot tips for nap phase 1 are as follows. First, you can begin shaping sleep from day 1. Of course, you'll need realistic expectations. It's not going to be a set schedule. Your child's not going to instantly get used to sleeping in the crib or bassinet without needing your assistance. But you can start shaping sleep from day 1 by implementing components of Ezra Plus, as mentioned in episode 3. Second tip, around 6 weeks of age, start to provide an earlier bedtime for your child, even as early as 5 or 5:30 p.m. It's around this time that night sleep becomes organized and consolidated. And so providing that earlier bedtime helps with that shift. And another tip is pay attention to the duration between sleep bouts that work best for your newborn. Each child will have a specific duration, but in general, newborns can handle about 30 to 45 minutes of wake time in the first 6 weeks. And gradually that time will expand to around an hour and a half by about 16 weeks. For more on newborn sleep, you can get a copy of my free resource, Newborn Sleep 101, What is Normal, at afterthestorksleep.com/newborn sleep. I'll also include this link in the show notes. The second nap phase involves that 4-month sleep regression, which I prefer to call a sleep leap, because there is a developmental reason that your child experienced sleep struggles around that time, a development that contributes to maturation of sleep over time. This phase starts around 16 weeks and lasts until about 6 months. Around 16 weeks, naps begin to become a bit more predictable as sleep matures. You will start to notice that your child experiences 3 to 4 naps consistently, but are not yet on a set schedule, meaning they experience the same number of naps each day, but are not yet at set times or durations. Over these 2 months, you will start to see the first 2 naps lengthen, with the last 1 or 2 being shorter. And if your child hasn't already done so by 4 months, they will transition from a 4-nap schedule to a 3-nap schedule within these 2 months. Generally, a child will go through that 4-to-3-nap transition without any assistance needed from you, as their wake windows and naps will lengthen, basically leaving no time in the day for your child to get in a 4th nap prior to bedtime. Okay, everything that I have discussed so far regarding the evolution of naps sort of works its way out if you keep the following 2 things in mind. 1, intentionally provide a sturdy sleep foundation. This involves those 5 components of Ezra Plus, as mentioned in episode 3. Without having set that sleep foundation, your child will have a more difficult time with sleep, if not already. This has a lot to do with the maturation of your child's brain and circadian rhythms, a topic for another time. 2, it is also important through those first 5 or 6 months that you are attuned to your child's sleep needs as they grow, paying attention to each day and week rather than trying to force them into some sort of schedule. This is a time when paying attention to sleep cues and wake window patterns is really helpful. It is towards the end of this age range, 6 months, that a schedule becomes more important than the wake windows. So during this second phase, I encourage you to pay attention to how your baby's sleep unfolds. You will start to see a gradual transition where a set schedule becomes more prominent than keeping track of your baby's sleep cues and wake windows. Here is a sample schedule for this second phase. Wake time is somewhere between 6 and 8 a.m. The a.m. nap starts somewhere between 8:30 and 9:30 a.m. The p.m. nap starts somewhere between 12 and 1 p.m. And the cat nap starts about 1.5 to 2 hours after that p.m. nap. Bedtime happening somewhere between 5:30 and 6:30 p.m. Here are some hot tips for this phase. At this time, I would encourage you to begin waking your child consistently around the same time each day once you notice the general pattern. If your child struggles with sleep, create a sleep plan that involves Ezra Plus. And if you are too exhausted to do this or are a bit confused about what exactly to do, hire a sleep consultant like myself. You can get a copy of my resource that covers the entire process of working together at afterthestorksleep.com/what-is-entailed. I'll include the link in the show notes. Now, as we move into the next 3 phases of the nap evolution, the time of day becomes more and more important. This is where you will focus more on the schedule rather than your child's wake window. And when your child is going through the following 3 phases, they're also going to go through the 3 nap transitions that I discussed in episode 14. Is it time to drop a nap? During those transitions, unlike before from the 3-to-4 nap transition, your child will most likely need your assistance in making this schedule adjustment. Okay, nap phase 3. Around 6 months, if not already, your baby will rely on a schedule. This third phase of naps includes a 3-nap schedule. It is at this time that you can expect the first 2 naps to be longer, with the cat nap lasting about 30 to 45 minutes. Here is a sample schedule for this phase. Wake time somewhere between 6 and 7 a.m. The a.m. nap happening somewhere around 9:30 a.m. P.m. nap somewhere between 12 and 1 p.m. Cat nap around 3:30, 4 p.m. with bedtime around 6 or 7 p.m. Now, something that I should mention here that I should have mentioned before, when I'm giving you a range, so when I say wake time somewhere between 6 to 7 a.m., your child is going to have a specific time that works best for them. I'm giving you a range based on children that I've worked with, based on my experience. Okay, so when I say PM nap happens somewhere between 12 and 1, that doesn't mean that your child's going to fluctuate that time each day. It means look for a pattern, find what works best for your child. So if your child does best at 12:30, you'll always have them in their crib at 12:30, regardless if they have sleepy cues or not, until we find it's not working anymore. But by this time, again, we're focusing on a schedule and not on wake windows and sleep cues. So that is why we want to pay attention to the clock here, because your child is going to benefit from a schedule that is consistent. Now, here are some hot tips for phase three. If your baby's first two naps are not already longer, you know, getting a little lengthy, around 1.5 to 2 hours, focus on guiding your infant to connect their sleep cycles, thus consolidating more sleep for those first two naps of the day. So you should see a schedule unfolding where the first two naps for your child, the AM and PM nap, are longer, and that last nap of the day is just a short cat nap to help them bridge the gap between that PM nap and bedtime. If your child is struggling with sleep, this is a great time to consider official sleep training. So that means, you know, your child is most likely unable to fall asleep and connect sleep cycles on their own and needs more assistance in figuring that out. They need a strategy so that they can pick up on some sort of pattern from you. And we want to obviously look at Ezra Plus, always wanting to look at those five areas if there is a sleep issue. Again, you can get your copy of What Working with a Sleep Consultant Entails at afterthestorksleep.com/what-is-entailed. I'll include that link in the show notes. On to phase four, which involves a two nap schedule. This phase generally lasts from 9 to 15-ish months of age. A schedule for this age range looks like the following. Wake time, somewhere between 6 and 7 a.m. The a.m. nap or first nap of the day, somewhere between 9 and 9:30. P.m. nap, somewhere between 12 and 1 p.m. And the bedtime, somewhere between 6 and 7 p.m. So this isn't much different from what we saw before. It's just that there's no cat nap now. So generally what we'll see happening is when the cat nap disappears, that PM nap starts to get longer. So by this time, by 9 months, your baby should no longer really need a cat nap. If your child does have a cat nap at this age, you'll probably notice them having a difficult time with sleep at night. If this is the case, it is a good idea to refer back to episodes 13 and 14 of the podcast to evaluate if something is throwing off sleep. A schedule adjustment might be needed, or if it truly is time to drop a nap while moving bedtime up to an earlier time for just a little bit. Now, here's a hot tip for phase four. During this time, learn about the signs for if and when your child is ready to drop a nap so that you can be proactive. The 2-to-1 nap and 1-to-no nap transition are the two hardest nap transitions. So it's really good if you can be on top of your game, if you can know what signs to look for so that you're able to nip it in the bud and help your child as soon as possible, rather than going a month or two before realizing change needs to happen. This is covered in episodes 13 and 14. And again, if your child struggles with sleep, consider if your child needs some adjustments to Ezra Plus and possibly the need for official sleep training. Now, nap phase five is the one nap schedule. This usually starts somewhere between 15 and 18 months of age and ends between 3 and 4 years of age. Here's a sample schedule for this nap phase. Wake time is somewhere between 6 and 7 a.m. The a.m. nap no longer exists. The p.m. nap starts somewhere between 12 and 1 p.m. Bedtime, somewhere between 6 and 7 p.m. So here is a hot tip for this phase. Adjust the duration of your child's nap and the start of their bedtime as they get older over time based on how they are doing with their night sleep. So as they get older, they're going to need a little bit less sleep, not a huge amount less, but you will see that you need to make adjustments by, for example, cutting the nap back by about 15 minutes, testing that out for a few days, rather than just jumping straight to the conclusion that they need to drop a nap. But once they are ready to drop that last nap, they then enter the last nap phase, phase six, the quiet time schedule or the no nap schedule. This happens somewhere between 3 and 4 years of age. When this happens, I highly encourage that you continue to have an hour of quiet time for your child in their room. regardless if they are sleeping or not, it provides some downtime for them to decompress. When going from one nap to no naps, expect that your child will probably need a nap every other day or so while making this adjustment. And while going through this phase, be sure to also adjust bedtime. Anytime really that you're transitioning, your child's going through a nap transition, you're going to want to adjust bedtime. If your child doesn't nap, an earlier bedtime is recommended. Here's a typical schedule for a child of this age. Wake time is somewhere between 6 and 7 a.m. Quiet time is around 1 p.m. And then bedtime is somewhere between 6:30 and 7:30. 8 p.m. is the latest I would have a child this age in bed. I'd encourage the earlier side, but if your child just does better with a little bit later, I'd encourage you to have them in bed by 8 p.m. at the latest. So quick recap of the 6 nap phases. We have nap phase 1, which involves the newborn phase, 0 to 16 weeks. Nap phase 2, which is the sleep regression, or I prefer sleep leap phase, that's 4 to 6 months. Nap phase 3 is the 3 nap schedule, which happens between 6 to 9 months. Nap phase 4 is the 2 nap schedule, occurring between 9 and 15 months. Nap phase 5 is the 1 nap schedule, which happens between 15 months to about 3 years of age. And nap phase 6, the quiet time schedule, or no nap schedule. This happens somewhere after 3 years of age. I hope you found this episode helpful. Figuring out the best time for your child to nap, along with making sure that they have all components for a strong sleep foundation in place, will help them to get the most restorative sleep possible. With that said, if your child is going to sleep with the proper schedule, but is still struggling to sleep, they might be missing another major component. So make sure that you've got all pieces of the puzzle of Ezra Plus in place. So that's a wrap for season 1 of the After the Stork podcast. That went by real fast. I hope that you are finding all of these episodes valuable. If you have suggestions of what topics you'd like to hear next, what themes you would like for the seasons, because I am going to start being a little bit more strategic with those, feel free to reach out or leave a comment in the reviews. I would love to have some more reviews in order to get this podcast out there in front of more families. I'm very passionate about sleep in general. I'm passionate about families doing what's right for them and living healthy, happy lives. If your child's not getting that sleep, that's pretty difficult for you. And if you're not getting the sleep that you need as a parent, that's pretty difficult for your entire family. Thank you again for joining me and being part of this Stork community. And as always, your child is worth it, your family is worth it, and you are worth it. Thanks for tuning in to the After the Stork podcast. Be sure to subscribe, rate, review, and share this podcast. By doing all of those things, you can help me to reach more families in need of guidance with their little one's sleep. And if you don't already, follow me on Facebook and Instagram using the handle afterthestork.megan. That's afterthestork.megan. And if you desire support with your little one's sleep journey, you can reach out to me directly on either one of those platforms. I hope to see you there.